fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of his mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. Is the Lamb. We fall down.
Second reading today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, letter to the church at Corinth. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind. Just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Thank you, Trish. As we begin the sermon this morning, I want to tell you about a time a couple years when I was in middle school, and my home church, we reached out to a specific ministry, and we kind of adopted this ministry as our focus. It was a ministry in East Akron called Lighthouse of Hope, and this ministry was started by a lady named Miss Joyce Berge, who saw a need in her community. See, the neighborhood church closed down. And she asked if she could, with help of others, purchase the house and the church and use it to feed the kids in the neighborhood and provide them with a safe place to enjoy. See, this neighborhood at one point, the crime rate was so high that it was known that the police wouldn't come if you called them. So she saw this need for a safe place for the kids to come. So twice a year, we would go down to this ministry, and we would paint porches, and we would pull weeds. We would do anything that we could to make that neighborhood a little bit better for the people that lived there. And one thing was striking to me as a seventh grade, middle class girl, was that the way these kids craved attention. Within an hour of arriving, we would have kids climbing all over us, wanting to hold our hand or to sit on our laps as we read a story. See, Miss Joyce would tell us the story of these kids who would come to her with no shoes or no book bag because their parents had taken them in the middle of the night to sell them for drug money. When I would hear these stories, it weighed on my heart. What could I do as a seventh or eighth grade student? What could I give these kids? Their lives were infinitely harder than I could ever imagine. Well, what I could offer them for a brief time was to be their friend, to hold their hand. I could give them a safe place, even for a little bit. See, I was a psychology major in college, and a lot of my classes, we talked about this triangle. And if you've had psych classes, you probably know what it is. It's called Maslow's Hierarchy of Needs. And the idea is that you have to meet the bottom need before you can meet the needs above it. Well, I could not feed these kids in any long-term way. I couldn't provide them with a home. I couldn't provide them with much safety either. But what I could give them for a little bit was connection. The simple act of holding hands, these two people, myself and these children, from very different worlds, were tackling this hard world together. This week begins our stewardship campaign. This is a time of year where we celebrate and reflect on the missions and ministries that we've been able to accomplish in the past year. The only way we are able to accomplish all these great things is through connection with one another, with our community, with other communities in mission in the world around us. On the United Methodist Church's website, under the Who Are We statement tab, is this statement. Every United Methodist congregation is interconnected throughout the denomination via a unique interlocking chain of conferences. Now, if you want to know exactly how this works, I won't bore you with the details right now, but I can talk to you after service, and I would be happy to explain it to you. But the basic of it is that we are a connectional church. As the United Methodist Church here in the Bath, Fairlawn area, we are not an island operating on our own. And this is one of the reasons why I love being a United Methodist. You know how when you travel and you have that thing that you've got to point out? So for some people, I think for maybe a lot of people, it's cows for whatever reason. When you're driving through the highways, you see, Melissa's nodding her head, yes. Okay, good. You see a cow, and for some reason, we say, look, there's cows! Which I don't quite know why, because I think all have seen cows, but for some reason, it's exciting to see it on the side of the road. Or deer. Now, if you didn't know it before, you're going to know after the sermon what of a big dork I am when I tell you what I point out. So the thing that I look for when I'm traveling is the cross and flame, which is the United Methodist symbol. Now, maybe I'll get some credit in your mind after I tell you the reason why I look for it. But when we were on vacation this past summer, we went out to the Outer Banks to a town called Duck, North Carolina. And it just so happened that across the street from where we were staying was the United Methodist Church in Duck, North Carolina. And I thought that would not be a bad place to be appointed to as a pastor. But the reason I look for this symbol, the reason I get excited when I see it, is because for me, it represents that connection. For me, this symbol represents the community of believers that supported me as a child. It represents the passionate and mission-centered community that I have found among you. We heard this morning Paul, who of course was first Saul, his greeting to the church in Corinth. And just like Paul thanks the Corinth church for their faithfulness to God, I thank God for all of the churches that I have been blessed to be a part of. I love the story in the other scripture of Ananias. And we know from this scripture that he is a disciple in Damascus. And so he obviously, by the tone of the scripture, knew who Saul was, or at least by Saul's reputation. He knew that Saul was not a friend of the church, to say the least. In the scripture version that was read today, it said that he wreaked havoc on the church, which is a bit of an understatement. He was killing people who belonged to the church. But Ananias was a man of great faith. So even though he knew all of this about Saul, who became Paul, he goes where God commands him to go, to minister to Saul. When we think about being connected in the body of Christ, how often do we go when we are called? The question that came up in preparation for the sermon in terms of connectedness is this, and I pose it to you. Who has been your bridge over which you have been introduced to the light of Jesus Christ? Who has been your bridge? Ananias was this person for Saul. Now, unlike most of us, Saul had this unique experience before meeting Ananias of having a face-to-face encounter with the risen Christ. But even still, Ananias, for Paul, who was at that time Saul, Ananias brought him into this Christian community. Through Ananias, Saul's eyes were opened spiritually and physically. So who has been your Ananias? Who has been your bridge? And I love how Ananias greets Saul, who was later Paul. Okay, we'll get it. Who was later Paul, in greeting, he says, "Brother Saul." Brother. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was meeting a man for the first time, someone who I knew was persecuting and killing in horrible ways, people who believed the same things I did, I would not be using the word brother. I would probably be using other words, but definitely not brother. But Ananias has a great faith in God, that if Paul, who at that time was Saul, was sent to him by the great connector, he had a plan. Saul needed Ananias because Ananias had that connection to the faith community. This is the connection that Saul needed to be able to start his ministry. Through his encounter with Ananias, Saul receives his sight, and it says he immediately was baptized. I love that word, immediately. Whenever you see that word, something immediately happens in Scripture. Pay attention. Saul immediately is connected through baptism to the kingdom of God. He immediately knows that he needs to be part of a community if he's going to be able to fulfill the mission God has for him. In your bulletins this week, you have another card, and I'd ask you to pull that out and look at it now. It says, "Clipped In 2018 Kindness Game." And Clipped In is our theme for the stewardship this year. This is for our hope, our intention for giving you these cards, and if you need extras, they're at the welcome table. Our hope for these cards is that it can be a tool to help us create better connections with one another and with the people around us that we run into. See, if we're all in agreement that we are called to be bridges for people, we have to learn to make connections. If we're in agreement as Christians that our main goal is to go out and to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world, then we have to look at this example of Saul, who later becomes Paul, okay? And he becomes one of the greatest missionaries at the known world at that time, and perhaps in the whole world of the church. Scripture tells us that Saul stayed with Ananias and the disciples at Damascus for several days and was strengthened. The church, as God intends it, is to be a place where people of God can come together to be strengthened and renewed so that they can in turn go out and spread the gospel. Notice that the church is not to be a hiding place or a fortress, but a training ground. But friends, we haven't always done this well, have we? As we come together, we have to be in connection with one another. We have to be vulnerable to each other. We have to be able to support one another as we follow God's calling on our lives. Now, as I say that, I am aware that we haven't always lived up to this calling. And the truth is, this is because God has chosen in his infinite wisdom to call us humans to do this job, to be his hands and feet. And unfortunately, whenever you deal with humans, you can count on imperfection. We are not perfect. But I truly believe that each and every one of you who's sitting in here today is here for a reason. The path that brought you here is different than the person sitting next to you. Maybe it was a harder path. Maybe it was an easier path. The path that led Saul to Ananias was strange and unusual, to say the least. It included a vision of a person he knew to be dead, then sudden physical blindness, only to be healed by a man who was a member of the religious group that he had been previously persecuting only a short time before. But his testimony is what God used to spread the gospel. God needs your story too. Your story is unique to you, and God needs that to use that to spread the gospel. But you have to let them. It's your choice. I imagine that Paul never forgot that community in Damascus. In his letters to the Corinthians, he greets the church and reminds them of their connectedness to each other and to the global church. He reminds the church in Corinth and the church of today that of our shared calling with one another. Paul reminds us that through the Holy Spirit, we have been given everything we need to fulfill the calling he has placed on our lives. We each have been given different gifts to be used for the glory of God. And part of connection or being connected to one another is saying, I don't have it all. I can't do everything. But what I can do and what I do have, I offer. As Christian community, we have been called by God into fellowship with Jesus Christ and with one another. We have been called so that we may go. Now, you might be saying to yourself, that's great. That's all well and good, but I don't feel very strong. Life has worn me out, if I'm honest. I have real struggles and real weaknesses. And to that I would say, I've been there. There are days where I feel very, very weak. But it says in Scripture that in our weakness, the Lord is strong. In our frailty, the Lord shows his strength. If you are feeling weak, surround yourself with others, because together you can be strong through the power of the Holy Spirit. So do you need an Ananias in your life? A person that will say to you, brother, sister, come and let me help you see the light in this day. Walk with me and I will give you strength. Ask God for these people and he will send them into your life. And also remember that Ananias was not perfect. He questioned God's command to go to and minister to Saul. But in his obedience, God's power was shown. And God can direct your steps as well, but first you have to pick up your feet. Paul had to be led to Damascus, and Ananias had to go to Saul. Both had to be willing to follow where God was leading. But by connecting with each other, the mission of God was fulfilled. Maybe through your weaknesses, God is preparing you to be an Ananias to someone else. Maybe he's going to use your unique gifts, your unique challenges, to lead someone else to the light of Jesus Christ. I can think of many people who were an Ananias to me. Some of you are sitting in this room. I am privileged to have grown up in a family that has supported my faith journey and where God has led me this far. But I want to tell you about one person in particular who is outside of my family, without whom I don't think I would be standing here today. Her name is Linda. She was hired as the Christian education director at my home church, and she came when I was in middle school. As I grew up and started to discover and share my calling into the ministry, she was always there to give me opportunities, she called them, to strengthen my call. She would let me present the children's message on Sunday from time to time, and she always had a kind word to say, even when I knew I failed completely. She did this so that I would have practice speaking in front of people. When I wanted to see a change happen in the church coffee hour, she helped me navigate through the church decision-making bodies and present my case in a compelling way. When I first came to this church and had questions about how to plan a confirmation retreat or how do I pick out curriculum, she was one of the first people I asked. A week ago, she officially retired from ministry at my home church, and she will be moving to Colorado to be with her daughter and her grandchildren. And I could not be more excited for her. It was through her gifts given to her by the Holy Spirit that mine were strengthened. But she had to be brave enough to answer the call that God had placed on her heart. Where is God calling you to strengthen someone? What gifts do you have that through connection with God, and the people that he has placed in your life, the mission of the church can be accomplished? See, the mission of the church, of the United Methodist Church, is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. That is our call. We can't do that alone, individually, or as a single church. Throughout this connection with each other and the churches around the world, when one falls, there is others to come around and pick each other up and at times carry one another. so that we can go out into the world as strong and courageous members of the body of Christ. Amen. As the praise team comes forward, would you all please stand and join in singing with me our last song?